ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम द भगवद गीता चैप्टर 13, चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड नेचर द एंजॉयर एंड कॉन्शियसनेस। टेक्स्ट नंबर 27। यावत् संजायते किंचित् सत्वं स्थावर जंगमं क्षेत्र क्षेत्रज्ञ संयोगात् तद्विद्धि भरतर्षभा। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। O chief of the Bharatas, know that whatever you see in existence, both the moving and the non-moving, is only a combination of the field of activities and the knower of the field. Purport. Both material nature and the living entity, which were existing before the creation of the cosmos, are explained in this verse. Whatever is created is but a combination of the living entity and material nature. There are many manifestations like trees, mountains, and hills which are not moving. And there are many existences which are moving. And all of them are but combinations of material nature and the superior nature, the living entity. Without the touch of the superior nature, the living entity, nothing can grow. The relationship between material nature and spiritual nature is eternally going on. And this combination is effected by the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he is the controller of both the superior and inferior natures. The material nature is created by him, and the superior nature is placed in this material nature, and thus all these activities and manifestations take place. Hare Krishna. So we'll continue with the study of the 13th chapter. We are on verse number 27. So this is the last section of this chapter where Krishna is again going to summarize whatever he has talked about in this 13th chapter. So in the beginning we saw how Krishna is describing the fields of knowledge, the knower and their interaction. And then he went on to describe the super soul who is residing in everyone's heart, how he is spread everywhere, and how his influence acts everywhere. And then, now he is describing the final section and is going to summarize the whole theme. So, Prabhupada in his purport, he is talking about two elements, the living entity and the material nature. So, material nature, by constitution, is dead matter. It lacks consciousness. It has no life. It cannot express any emotions. It cannot have any feelings like anger, hatred, love. All these emotions cannot come out from dead matter. If you analyze just matter down to its roots, down to the smallest parts, we see it is simply a combination of atoms and molecules. Atoms and molecules are dead matter. and they combine together to form molecules and then bigger molecules and then some cells, some DNA structures, proteins and amino acids and some living some cells, some organs and then the whole body. So when something is made up of dead matter, atoms and molecules which are dead matter, and they combine together to form the whole body, how can the body have consciousness? A combination of dead matter built up in a chain cannot have life by nature. That's what the Darwin's theory proposes, or material science proposes, that at certain point of time, when material elements combine together and when there are favorable circumstances created, then life originates. That's what they say. At some point of time. And although they say this, they have not yet proved this. They have never proved by combining any amount of material elements in a laboratory and produce life. So the basic assumption itself is wrong. Their assumption starts that material elements combine together to form life. But when we analyze it to the roots, all material elements are atoms and molecules, which are dead matter by nature. How can dead matter combine together to form life? It is impossible. So that is the main flaw in that theory. So Prabhupada here is explaining that the material nature is created by the Lord and the superior nature is placed in this material nature. So if we find some living force in a combination of dead matter, that means there is some additional element in that matter. We have a dead body and a living body. Both have material elements. Both have the same kind of organs. But one body shows symptoms of life and other body doesn't show any symptoms of life. One body has consciousness. It can express emotions and feelings. And the other body is totally dead. So what is that extra thing present in a living body that makes the living body appear alive? So that is the spirit soul that is placed inside the material body by some superior arrangement. So that we call it as soul, or we may call it as atma, or whatever, different terms. So the body that a spirit soul acquires depends on his past activities, his past actions, his desires, all those things aggregated together, he is awarded a body where he is placed in. Karmana daiva netrena jantur deho papattaye striya pravishta udaram jantur deho kanashraya. A spirit soul takes shelter in the womb of species, and then it grows its body. So this is how nature works. So this field of activity of a soul, that is described in this 13th chapter. The body is the field of the spirit soul, the field of activities, where it can work, it can manipulate and do a lot of things. And then the knower, the spirit soul knows about the body. We are all residing inside this body. So we have some understanding of what's happening in this body, not to the full extent. And then there is another knower who knows not only what is happening in my body, or this body, or that body, but in everyone's body. That is the super soul. So there is a long section, series of verses where Krishna is describing the super soul. Material nature is described, the super soul is described. He knows everything. Therefore, he's super, super soul. So there is a difference between the soul and the super soul. We are limited in consciousness, and the super soul has unlimited consciousness. We are minute, he is infinite. Our influence is limited to this body. The Lord's influence, the super soul's influence is spreading all over all bodies, everywhere. So there is localized super soul present inside every body, and then there is a super soul for this whole universe, who is known by the name Garbhodakashayi Vishnu, who is controlling the activities of the entire universe. And then there is the super soul of the whole material creation also. And he is known by the name Mahavishnu. The soul of the entire material creation, soul of individual universes, and soul of individual bodies. This soul is an expansion of the other two Vishnus, known as Kshirodakashayi Vishnu. And he enters into each and every body, enters into each and every atom, Andantarastha Paramanuchaya Antarastham. And he controls everything. That is the nature of the super soul. So, this is how the Gita introduces us or gives us the knowledge of the phenomenal world, the external world. There is a classic difference between how modern science understands this world and how Vedic scriptures inform us about the nature of this world. I remember my school days where we were taught various classification systems. Anywhere, in any subject. Whenever modern science attempts to classify certain things, say for example, say elements. Here we are talking about material nature, right? So, material nature is understood to be composing of more than 100 elements, according to modern science. And we were taught this periodic table in chemistry, remember? The modern periodic table and the Mendeleev's periodic table, where elements were classified based on their atomic weight. The initial classification system was based on the atomic weight, which was based on, I don't know how they calculated it. But then, according to their atomic weights, they were classified into rows and columns. And each row, elements on each row had a certain characteristic. Elements of each column had a certain similar characteristic. And then they came up with a better classification system based on the atomic number, the number of protons inside the nucleus. And then they classified all elements based on that. So starting from hydrogen, that has an atomic number of 1, up till more than 100 radioactive elements, that has atomic number of more than 100. So they were classified and arranged in a table known as the modern periodic table. And elements of each row had a certain characteristic. Elements of each column had a certain characteristic. And just by understanding which row the element belonged to, you can understand the whole characteristic or properties of that element. How it reacts, how it looks, the physical nature, the chemical nature. Everything you can understand. So, a very detailed classification system, very systematic way of organizing and understanding the knowledge of matter around us. And it was very impressive. It appeared so systematic. Just by looking at the table, you can understand the whole material nature in one sense. Everything you can know just by looking at the table, looking at the atomic number, all those details. But when we see Vedic scriptures, there is hardly such detailed information available. Krishna's, how does Krishna classify material nature? Bhumi, Rapo, Analo, Vayu, Kham, Mano, Buddhi, Reva, and Ahankar. Just 8 elements. Gross elements and subtle elements. Gross elements consisting of earth, water, fire, air, ether. Subtle elements consisting of mind, intelligence, and ego. And then there is the higher nature called spirit soul. Only 8 elements compared to what we find in the classification of modern scientists. More than 100 elements in the periodic table. And here in Krishna's periodic table, there are only 8 elements. And all elements that we find in material nature are included in these 8. So one who is introduced to this kind of classification may feel that the knowledge mentioned in the Vedic scriptures is very elementary, not very detailed, not very systematic, not well researched. And we may consider it very primitive and not very useful. Another example that I can think of is the classification of species. The modern biologists and botanists, Jai Shri Shri Yadav Gopinath Bhagavan ki, Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Shri Gopal ji ki. The classification of species. According to the modern research, they classify organisms into microorganisms, macroorganisms. Then there are mammals, and among mammals there are invertebrates, there are vertebrates, and within that there are subclassifications and sub-subclassifications. And then there are plant species, totally different, angiosperms, gymnosperms, and so many technical terms. So many technical terms. Just to classify the species of life. And a layman can never understand how these elements are classified, how these species are classified. Compare it with the classification of species found in the Vedic literatures. It says, Jalaja Navalakshani Stavaram Lakshavimshati. So many lakh species in aquatics. So many lakh species of reptiles, so many lakh species of birds, and few lakh species of human beings. A very broad classification, not a detailed, minute analysis of species. That's all it gives. Look at the planetary systems. Modern astronomers have invented so many sophisticated telescopes and instruments to understand the structure of the universe, structure of the planetary system. And they have discovered so many planets. Even recently they discovered some galaxy whose light was emitted some 5 billion years ago. And the light travels at such a fast speed. It has reached Earth now. So they have discovered such a galaxy existing at some point, some corner of the universe, and some information they have got. So much detailed analysis and effort goes in to classifying systems, classifying knowledge. And Vedic scriptures also give us some kind of classification. So how does the Vedic scriptures classify planetary systems? 14 levels. The lower planetary system consisting of hellish planets. Then there are the middle planetary systems, Earth and all those. And then the higher planetary systems consisting of the heavenly planets, Brahmaloka, all those planets. Broad, very broad classification. 14 planetary systems, that's all. The whole universe is covered in this. So, when knowledge is given in the Vedas, it may appear very primitive, and very not very well researched. We may feel this is not very useful and it doesn't give much information. It is very primitive. And compare it with our modern knowledge derived out of such technological advancement. It's so detailed. It gives us so much information. So why do we find such difference? Because the knowledge that the Vedic scriptures give us is meant to liberate us from the bondage of material conditioning. The basic intention, the main motive behind studying material nature by the scientists is that they want to learn how to control it. That's the main motto behind any scientific research, behind any scientific analysis. Whenever a scientist tries to understand a certain subject, the basic motive behind that effort is how I can control it, how I can manipulate it to my advantage. So therefore, they want to understand all intricacies, how this functions, how that works, how this works, how they interconnected, all those detailed knowledge they want. And unless everything is obtained, they cannot remain happy. Therefore, there is research. So many research institutes, so much effort put into research and development. Because the main intention behind studying any subject is how I can control and manipulate it. Whereas the knowledge given in the Vedas is not meant to induce the living entity to learn how to control it. That's not the motive behind present exist knowledge. How to teach the living entity to control this nature. That's not the motive. The Vedas are giving us information or knowledge about a certain subject so that we understand the essence of its working. Just the essence, not all details. Whatever minimum is required for a living entity to get out of this world, that much minimum knowledge is given. Therefore, this information we have, such primary basic classifications. Okay, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, indigo. That's it. Nothing more than that. How, what? All solids come under earth. All liquids come under water. All gases come under air. Not each and every element of gas, each and every element of water, each and every element of earth. Not needed. A living entity that doesn't need to know each and every aspect of material nature to get out of this material nature. If the goal of life is to get out of this material nature and liberate us, you don't need so much information. If you want to control it, then you need. But that's the basic disease of a living entity. The tendency to control. So therefore, we find the knowledge given in the Vedas is very is very broad, and it contains only minimum information that is required for a living entity to come out of this material nature, the clutches of material nature. So when we study this knowledge, we need to keep this purpose in mind. If we are too much hankering for detailed knowledge, then that's a sign of a gyan yogi, trying to acquire more and more knowledge and get bound again. Knowledge is meant to liberate us from the material world. So that basic information is given in the Vedic scriptures. So it gives the essence. Just the essence. And material knowledge, it may appear detailed, but it is extremely complex. Very complicated. Volumes of books will be written on one single section. If you see medical knowledge, just to study one cell or one small organ, there's such huge books written. How a disease affects a certain organ and how it can be treated. All those things. Great details. Lot of details. So, Vedic knowledge enlightens us and it directs us towards self-realization. Understanding who I am, understanding who the supreme controller is, and understanding the relationship between the living entity, material nature, and the supreme personality of Godhead. That is the purpose of knowledge. Knowledge means to understand what is matter, what is spirit, and the controller of the two. Real knowledge. And in the beginning of this chapter, Krishna introduces what is real knowledge. He gives a list of 20 items. Humility, pridelessness, the ability to perceive birth, old age, disease and death, taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, many things. And he finally says, whatever is not included in this is all nonsense, is all ignorance. Everything outside this boundary is ignorance. That is real knowledge. And we need to understand Vedic scriptures in this light. How it is helping me to enlighten myself. To how it is directing me towards self-realization. So again, coming back to the first point of how a material nature, a living entity is entrapped in a material body. The material nature is created by him and the superior nature is placed in this material nature. And thus all these activities and manifestations take place. Prabhupada's favorite example was of a car. How there is a car? A car has so many features, so many instruments, so many applications. But without a driver, the car is a dead body. It is useless. It cannot move. When a living entity, a driver, gets into the car, and when he operates the car, then the car starts moving. Right? Car in itself is simply dead matter. Similarly, this body is like a car. And it has many features. It can see, it can hear, it can touch, it can perceive using so many senses, 5 senses altogether. But unless the living entity, a conscious living entity, enters into this car of body, only then the body can start functioning. And when the living entity leaves the body is as good as a dead matter, dead car. Just like the driver comes out of the car is still. It cannot move any longer. So that's how this body works. This is such a very elementary understanding of spiritual life. But we need to be bombarded with this information so very often. And still we are not able to understand this basic theme. Concept of body and soul and reincarnation was so common, so everyone knew this information in Vedic culture. But with the advancement of modern technology, we need to spend hours together to understand this basic fact. So that's how a body works. The dead matter combined with a living entity. Only then the matter can move forward. Similarly, this world, on a macro level, this world is like a body. This universe is like a body. And unless there is a supreme controller, a soul, the supreme soul, the super soul, who enters into this universe, only then this universe can start functioning. The planets can rotate, revolve in their respective orbits, and the universe will start functioning. Otherwise, the universe is simply a combination of dead matter. It cannot function on its own. When Prabhupada was in the Russia, he met one leading scientist called Professor Katovsky. The story is there in the Leelamrit. And he was the head of the Department of Oriental Studies of one leading university in Moscow. And Prabhupada got a chance to talk to him, meet him. And they were discussing how Prabhupada was trying to impress upon him the need and urgency of Krishna consciousness and trying to introduce this philosophy there. And when they were having a discussion, this concept of soul and reincarnation came up. And as soon as this topic was raised, Katovsky immediately said, when the body dies, everything dies. That means he had no understanding of a soul. His understanding was life originates by a combination of chemicals, a combination of matter. So Prabhupada could understand how even such big scientists who are heading such respectable departments of knowledge, even they don't have this basic understanding of soul and God. When he was in MIT and he was shown different departments of knowledge, he was not impressed. He said, there are so many departments of knowledge, but where is the department to study the Almighty in MIT? In MIT, there is no department to study the Almighty. So therefore, this knowledge is seriously lacking in this world. The basic difference between body and soul, the difference between a living body and a dead body, and this concept of reincarnation. So Krishna is talking about this in this chapter, and how the influence of the super soul is spreading everywhere, how the soul's influence is spreading inside the body, and we perceive it by consciousness. Body, the symptom of a soul is consciousness. The body is conscious means the soul is present. Unconscious body means there is no soul. Dead body means the soul is absent. So that's the that's how Krishna is talking about this information. So I'll stop here. If anyone has any question, we can take up one or two. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki